Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, saints of God. Good morning and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast this Tuesday morning. What a beautiful song, as the hymn writer reminds us, that thief on the cross saw that fountain of blood opened before him. And asked Jesus to cleanse him of all his sins. We all did that one day. We all came to the cross one day. We all were able to see that beautiful fount of blood that washes every sin away. And this is why when we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we partake of the cup, we thank the Lord for the blood that ratified the New Testament covenant, the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we're talking about God plus one in 2022. God plus one in 2022. Before I forget, today is Tuesday. And if today's Tuesday, you know what that means. We have our prayer service tonight. Please don't forget to join us for prayer, for united prayer, for a concert of prayer. Jonathan Edwards called it a concert of prayer, where we all get together with our different voices and our different petitions and our different supplications and our different praises and our different giving of thanks. And we serenade the Lord, we like a symphony. We all come and we all open our mouths and we all pray to God. And it's a concert of intercession. It's a concert of supplication. It is a concert of giving thanks in which we come to beseech the Lord to have mercy on us, to bless us, and to save souls. A concert of prayer. You bring your concerns, you bring your joys, you bring your needs, you bring your petitions, I bring mine, everybody brings theirs, and as we come together and we speak to the Lord in unison, like they did in the upper room, it is like sweet music to God's years. So tonight, 7:30, with our leader, Sister Linda Hart, don't forget to bring your Bible. Don't forget to bring your George Mueller book. Don't forget to bring your prayer manual. Don't forget, 7:30 tonight. Always try to get on a little bit earlier. Try to get on at least five minutes before. There'll be some music playing for you. And then once you hear the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, you know we are about to begin. So tonight, 7:30. Our text for this week is Joshua 23, verse 10. I'm going to read it to you in three different translations. It says in the King James, "One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you." The New Century Version reads, "With his help, one Israelite could defeat a thousand, because the Lord your God fights for you as he promised to do." The New Jerusalem Bible reads like this: "One man of you was able to rout a thousand of them, since Yahweh your God was himself fighting for you as he promised you." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, we resort to you in prayer. We come to you. We tread a path towards you, standing, seeking enlightenment, seeking clarity, seeking to be fed, seeking to be blessed, seeking to be edified, seeking to be strengthened in the inner man. Heavenly Father, we pray for this broadcast. We pray for this short lesson. We pray that you would use it to speak to us and to impart faith. Faith in you. Faith that you're still able to do the impossible. Because, Lord, there's a rumor out there that you no longer do today what you once did. But we know, Lord, that that rumor is false. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this promise made to the Israelites way back when, today, if we would only yield and make ourselves available to you. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, we diagrammed the text. We know that this passage of Scripture comes from that wonderful book, the book of Joshua, the book of victory, the book of conquest, the book of fulfilled promises, where God had made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that to his descendants would he give the land, and under the leadership of Joshua, the servant of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that promise was fulfilled. That and many promises made to the Israelites was fulfilled. As we diagrammed the text, this text of victory, faith, we saw that there were five parts to the text. The first is the phrase one man. That refers to one covenant man, one covenant woman, yielded and determined to serve God. You know, God can only use you if you yield yourself. The Holy Spirit will use you mightily the more you yield yourself to the Lord. To yield yourself is to hand yourself over in service to God. One man, says the Bible, one woman yielded to God can make a world of difference. One man, one, if they would only believe that God could use them, they would make a world of difference in the hand of God. The second part of the text says, one man of you shall chase a thousand, shall chase a thousand. That implies that when you yield yourself to God, you shall be able to do that which is naturally impossible. There's no way, there's no way in the world that one man, just on natural strength and ability alone, can defeat a thousand men. There's no way. So when that one man, when that one woman decides to hand over their life to the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they shall be able to do that which is naturally impossible. Now, that which is naturally impossible is possible because, for it is the Lord your God. You're able to do the impossible because you have full divine support. You have full divine backing. You have full divine underwriting. God's got your back. I can do all things, said the Apostle Paul, through Christ who strengthens me. The fourth part of the text says, for it is he that fighteth for you. One of the great themes of theology is that God is pictured in Scripture as a divine warrior. In Exodus chapter 15, in the Song of Moses, which Miriam and the women sing and dance to and play the tambourine to, the timbrel, there in that Song of Moses, in the 15th chapter, after the drowning of the Egyptian host, Moses began to declare, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord our God, he is a man of war. God is our general. He's our field general. He's our military leader. When you fight, the Lord goes before you. He goes before you. And this is why we're never defeated, because God cannot be defeated in battle. It is he who fighteth for you. And then finally, as he hath promised you, listen, we can do all things through Christ because the Bible is replete with promises for the believer that we are more than conquerors. Now notice, we're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So that's the breaking down of the text. But I don't want to look at the text per se, but I want to continue with this theme starting today all the way through Friday. I want to talk to you about God plus one, God plus one, because I want to encourage you to make yourself available to the Lord. Not to make yourself available to Grace Church or not to make yourself available to Pastor Torres. No. When you make yourself available to the Lord, when you yield to the Lord your God, when you say, here I am, Lord, send me, then you will be a blessing to Grace Church. Then you will be a co-laborer of mine. Then you will have an impact on your local community. But you see, the key is to yield yourself to the Lord because it is the Lord who is going to empower you. The church can't empower you. I can't empower you. You cannot empower yourself. You've got to be yielded to the Lord. Once you yield yourself to the Lord, then you become a blessing to all those connected to you. You'll be a blessing to our wonderful church. You'll be a blessing to me. You'll be an encouragement to me. And you will be an encouragement and a light and salt in the world in which you live and in the community in which you desire to serve. So today we're looking at God plus one in the animal kingdom. Now, I want to talk about God plus one in the animal kingdom because I want to show you that even animals are used of God. Even lowly creatures. You know, man is among all the things God created on planet Earth, man sits on top. Man is the crowning achievement of God in creation. But there are other creatures beneath man. Creatures were also created by God for his service. So we want to look at today God plus one in the animal kingdom. I want to encourage you by showing you that if these animals yielded themselves to God and God used them, then certainly he can use you. The first animal that I want you to consider that God used is none other than the donkey, or what the Bible calls the ass. And the King James Version is translated ass. So let's go to Numbers 22, Numbers chapter 22. And you know the story. I don't need to go deep into the story. The story is about Balaam, a false prophet. A false prophet. And God had told Balaam, do not go and curse my people. Do not take the invitation of Balak, king of Moab, who wants to curse my people. Do not go and use your enchantments or your sorceries upon my people. But listen, the payday was so good, the money was so good, that it was too tempting for Balaam to just give up. So he saddled his ass and he was going to Moab to secure that big payday for cursing the people of God. So here God employs a donkey. You see, God plus one. Now, it's not a herd of donkeys. It's not two donkeys or three donkeys. It's just one donkey. One. So let's pick it up in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. Starting at verse 21. Numbers 22, 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants, his two adjutants, were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Now, this is when God's going to use the donkey. He's going to turn the donkey, this non-talking creature, God is going to turn it into a talking creature. And the reason why God turns the donkey into a talking donkey is to reason with the madness of the prophet. You see, Balaam was so consumed with money, so consumed with covetousness, so consumed with greed, so consumed with a huge payday, for he was a mammonist, a preacher who preaches solely for money. He was so consumed with greed that he was blinded and could not see the angel of the Lord. So God empowers the ass, gives the ass the ability to speak. And it says in verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? Why hast thou smitten me these three times? Now Balaam, he just answers in verse 29. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, and I would kill you right now. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was in thine unto this day? Was I wont to do so unto thee? And Balaam answered, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Your way is twisted. You have a twisted way of reasoning. Your heart is twisted. Your mind is twisted. You are perverse. Verse 33, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life. So in other words, the angel of the Lord is telling Balaam, you know, if it wasn't for your ass, if it wasn't for your donkey who obeyed me and stopped and basically parked herself when she sat down, you're beating her. Now, you don't see a thing. You're beating her, but the donkey understands that she cannot get past me, and your donkey is trying to save your life. She sat down in an attempt, Balaam, to save your perverse mind. Because had she proceeded, I would have killed you, but not her. The donkey's not to blame. You are. So notice, God plus one and the animal kingdom, and that was a donkey. God used the donkey to talk. To talk. To counsel. The donkey was counseling Balaam, reasoning with him in his mad state of mind. Balaam had gotten off his rocker. That's what money does to people. Money blinds people. Riches blind people. And here is this lowly beast of burden trying to reason by means of divine empowerment, trying to talk sense into his owner and telling him to cut it out or God will take his life. Well, God plus one donkey. There's another story in the book of Kings. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to start reading at verse number 23. This is a very interesting story. Very interesting story. Filled with lots and lots and lots of theological questions. But here we have a man of God. A man of God in the Old Testament. Whenever you see the phrase a man of God, that equals prophet. God had a man of God that he had sent to Jeroboam, wicked King Jeroboam. And God gave this assignment to his man of God or to his prophet. He said, when you go to Jeroboam, you speak against the idolatry that Jeroboam is promoting. Speak against it. Come against it. And when I empower you to do miracles before Jeroboam, he's going to try to entice you to go with him. He's going to try to pay you. He's going to try to feed you. He's going to try to house you. But you let him know that he cannot feed you or house you or pay you because you are my servant and not his. I pay you. He cannot. So even if they offer you a drink of water, do not drink or eat anything in that place where I'm sending you. You leave there after you fulfill your task. But do not fellowship with Jeroboam or any of his people. So the man of God goes and he does exactly what God tells him to do. And he's a great success. The mission was a success. He did exactly as God told him to do. And as he is leaving, an old backslidden prophet comes to the man of God and says, you know, I too am a man of God. I too am a prophet. And God has spoken to me and God has told me to tell you that he's changed your instructions. That you can come to my house, that you can fellowship with me, that you can eat with me and I'll feed you and I'll refresh your soul with drink. And so the man of God was bamboozled. He was tricked. The younger prophet was tricked by the old backslidden prophet. And he goes with the old prophet to his house and he eats and he drinks. And while they're fellowshipping there, as the, you know, they're talking and they're eating and they're fellowshipping, the word of the Lord comes not to the young prophet, but the word of the Lord comes to the backslidden prophet and says, because you failed to do as God told you to do, now you shall be killed on your way home. Now, again, this story has so many questions that need to be answered, and maybe on another occasion we will do so. But the purpose of today is to just show you how God plus one in the animal kingdom. So as the young prophet is heading home after being rebuked, first he was lied to by the old prophet, then he was rebuked by the old prophet. Upon him being rebuked, we pick it up in verse 23, and it says, and it came to pass, 1 Kings 13:23, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that the old man saddled for him an ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. So the young man, the young prophet, came walking. But this time he's leaving with a donkey. Again, God told him, don't take anything. Don't let them buy you. Don't let them buy your allegiance. Listen, false teachers and false prophets and false churches can buy your allegiance by throwing money your way. And you have to, listen, you have to be devoid of money. You have to divorce yourself from money. If you and money If you're seeking the ministry, if you're seeking money in ministry, you are already perverse and corrupt. The ministry is not about a paycheck. The ministry is not about a salary. The ministry is not about money or a position or a steady job. The ministry is about serving God and his interests. And it is God who pays the man of God. So he got there walking, and he's leaving with a car, if you will. He's leaving with an ass. He's leaving with a donkey. He's been tainted. So, verse 24. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way. A lion. You see? One lion. Not a pride of lions, not a whole group of lions, just one lion. One lion met the young prophet who blew it. He did the first part of his assignment, but blew the second part. The second part is, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he did. And because of that, he was no longer useful to the Lord. So the Lord sent an avenging lion. And when he was gone, when the young prophet was riding his ass on his way home, when he had left, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way or on the path. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by, and they saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and they told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And the old prophet spake unto his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found the carcass in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. Now, this is unusual, because here is a lion who no doubt is on assignment. He is sent by God to judge the young man who did not follow the instructions to the letter. And so the lion does his assignment. He kills the man of God. There's the carcass lying on the ground on the road. He doesn't eat the carcass because he was not sent to eat him. The lion was not sent to eat the man of God. He was sent to kill the man of God. And that's as far as his instructions went. And the lion obeyed God to the letter. Nor was the lion given authority or power or permission to eat the donkey, which would have been a nice reward. So notice, the lion is obedient to God. See, the whole purpose of this story is, who is going to be obedient to the Lord? Who's going to follow the Lord's instructions to the T? And here is this lion sent on a mission to do one thing, kill the man of God. And there he is, the man of God's lying there. His body's intact, not one limb missing, because, again, the lion had no permission to eat. Nor did the lion turn his wrath upon the donkey, for the donkey was not at fault, nor was the donkey his reward, his meal, if you will, his meal ticket from the Lord, because he had done a good job. No. In fact, the donkey and the lion are both looking at the man of God and saying, had he only obeyed. So think about that. God plus one in the animal kingdom. God plus one. God plus a donkey in the story of Balaam. God plus one here God plus one lion in the story here with the man of God. All right. Let's go to Jonah, the prophet Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And in the book of the prophet Jonah, it's God plus one whale. God plus one whale. Here we have the prophet Jonah. God has told him to go to Nineveh, preach revival at Nineveh, to preach to the saving of souls at Nineveh. And Jonah, a Jew, Jonah, a Hebrew, he hated the Ninevites because they were cruel people and they were cruel enemies of the people of God. And he says, I'm not preaching to them. And God says, oh, yes, you are. You're my prophet. I'm sending you to preach to the Ninevites. I want to save them. I'm not willing that any should perish. And Jonah says, they deserve to perish. They're a wicked people. And God says, but I'm a God of grace. And you go and preach grace. And Jonah wouldn't have it. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he went in the opposite direction. He was going to Tarshish. He boarded a ship. And God raises up a storm because even creation is subject to God. And then in verse 17 of chapter 1, it says, and the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. You see, God plus one. God plus one in the animal kingdom. Listen, if you don't obey the Lord, if God sends you on an assignment and you find yourself in the opposite direction, God's going to use something to get you back on track. In this case, the taxi, if you will, or the Uber that God was using to get Jonah to Nineveh was the whale. The whale swallowed Jonah. Jonah became the passenger of the whale. The whale was the taxi. And then the Bible says that he was in the belly of the whale, in the belly of the fish, for 3 days and three nights until they arrived at Nineveh. And then when they got to the shores of Nineveh, the whale spat him or vomited him out right at the location where God said to drop him off. God plus one. But also in Jonah chapter 4, let's go to Jonah chapter 4. In Jonah chapter 4, a whale is a big creature. Lion's a big creature. An ass, a donkey's a big creature. But God can even use the minutest creatures, like a worm. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 7, here we go again. Here's that same language. And God prepared a worm. God ordained, the same way God prepared a donkey and God prepared a lion and God prepared a whale, which means he ordained them. He gave them an assignment. He enlisted them and sent them. The same way God did that with those formidable creatures. God taps a little tiny worm for a very special assignment. And God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day. And that little worm's assignment was to smite the gourd that was given Jonah protection from the heat of the sun. And the worm smote the gourd and it withered. And when the gourd withered and its leaves withered, Jonah again was exposed to the power of the sun. And so what's the lesson? The lesson here is this. We're going to do things God's way, and we're going to learn God's lessons. And God always has a ram in the bush. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Abraham and Isaac, God's trying to teach them a lesson. God's trying to give them a picture of how he would sacrifice his son, Jesus Christ. All of this is dealing with typology. And then Abraham is about to sacrifice his son, Isaac, and he hears the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, do not harm the child. Don't harm the lad, for I have seen your faith. And then Abraham, the Bible says, raised up his eyes, and there was a ram, one ram, caught in the thicket. God plus one. God plus one. Remember when Jesus and Peter needed to pay their taxes? You remember the story in the gospel where Jesus said to Peter, go fishing. And he laid down a hook in the water. He just fishing like Jesus said. He brought up one fish. In the mouth of that one fish was a coin. That fish was sent to go get that coin, which somebody dropped. Somebody dropped that coin down, and they dropped it in the ocean, and it went down to, it was embedded in the sand at the bottom of that place, and the fish went down and got it, got on the hook, and said, Jesus, bring me up. One fish with a coin in its mouth. See, God plus one in the animal kingdom. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the animals make themselves available to God. The animals willingly yield themselves to the Lord. My question is, how about you? How about me? Are we ready for God to use us? A little worm was employed by the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be employed by the Lord? Wouldn't you like to go on one of those gospel adventures where God would have you to do something so significant? Because that worm was teaching Jonah a lesson. If Jonah was so concerned about a plant and Jonah loved a plant so much, why? And by the way, a plant doesn't have a soul. A plant doesn't have an eternal destiny. And Jonah was so heartbroken because the worm had eaten and had stifled the gourd, so much so that it withered. If Jonah could be so concerned about a plant, why couldn't he be so concerned over the souls and the eternal destiny of the Ninevites? You know, the plant grows today and is withered tomorrow, but not a human being. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. God plus one in 2022. Are you available to the Lord? Maybe in 2020 you said, well, God can't use me. Maybe in 2021 you said, well, God can't use me. I'm here to tell you today in 2022, God wants to use you. He can use you, and he wants to use you. Are you available? Well, we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about God plus one. We'll talk about God plus one in the Old Testament. God bless you. Don't forget prayer tonight, 7:30.